Track 6. I'm writing this script on a soggy, grey Tuesday morning when any thought of outdoor sporting activity would be far from the mind of any sensible person, although they do say it never rains on a golf course. But let's not be put off by the weather and review the last few days when most sport around here did manage to take place, although some of the cricket in the local leagues did suffer disruption on Saturday. Cricket, of course, comes to mind when you think of the effect of weather, but nothing was able to disrupt England's dismissal of South Africa in the fourth and final test match in Manchester on Monday. Victory in this match bringing with it triumph in the series overall by 3-1. I think you could say this was Moeen Ali's match. The Worcestershire all-rounder turned what looked to be heading for a nail-biting finish into a clear England advantage with a swashbuckling innings in England's second innings when he hit an unbeaten 75 runs in super-quick style, and then when the visitors batted in their second innings, he took 5 wickets with his spin bowling, including the vital one of Hashim Amla, to polish off the victory by the wide margin of 177 runs. He was subsequently voted both player of the match and, for the England side, player of the series. You may remember he finished off the previous test match in this series with a hat-trick, so it's been a good summer for him so far. England now face a 3-match series against West Indies starting next week, but they still have problems to solve, mainly among their batting lineup before heading to Australia in the winter. They've tried various new faces alongside the established batters like Cook and Root and Stokes, but none have particularly impressed. I shall be interested to see who they turn to in the West Indies series. As far as the local cricket scene is concerned, Pedmore continued their improvement in the first division of the Worcestershire County League on Saturday with a resounding win against the previous High Flyers, Worcester. This was one of the matches at the weekend that was affected by rain. It was reduced to 30 overs a side, and in their stint in the middle, Worcester were skittled, all out for only 69 runs. Pedmore required only 11 overs to top that and win the match by 8 wickets. Pedmore are steadily climbing away from the relegation zone. Droitwich are already doomed. They've lost every league match this season, and there's only one other relegation spot, and Pedmore are almost 40 points ahead of the team in that position with 6 league matches left. And the team just above Pedmore in the league table are Berg Hill, Wembley and Tillington, and they accounted for the steadily crumbling Hagley on Saturday, who at one time looked as though they may challenge for honours this season, but are now more than 50 points behind the league leaders, and a mid-table finish looks to be all they can look forward to. In the second division, I've been worrying recently about Old Swinford, but they did manage a win on Saturday against the bottom team in the league, Harborne. The match was reduced to 28 overs a side because of rain, and Old Swinford managed a respectable 198/4 in their stint, but they then won the match in dramatic style. Harborne were clinging on for a draw at 148/9 in the 28th and final over, but their last wicket fell on the 5th ball of that over, giving Old Swinford the win with 1 ball to spare. Every win is vital for Old Swinford, as they're only 1 place above the relegation places. Our other local team in this league, Bell Broughton, lost by 5 wickets to Evesham in another rain-reduced match. League Soccer's 2017-18 season started at the weekend, at least for the lesser lights in the Championship and below, and the fruits of the first weekend were a win for Wolves, a draw for Villa and defeat for Birmingham City. Almost 30,000 people turned out at Molineux to watch Wolves play Middlesbrough, newly relegated from the Premier League this season and among the favourites to return there. Under new Chinese ownership, Wolves have splashed the cash on new signings this summer, and their lineup can't have been familiar to the fans who came to watch. But the side performed well and deserved their 1-0 win. It'll be interesting to watch how they progress under their new owners. They appear to be focused on buying their way back to the Premiership and have splashed the cash on several foreign recruits to the colours. We'll keep an eye on their progress in these weekly reports. Wolves fans have waited a long time for success, and they must be hoping it's well nigh due. Villa were in action at home to Hull City, another of the Premier League's relegated sides, and took an early lead in the game, but could not hold on to it, and the visitors salvaged a 1-1 draw. Birmingham City were the only local side on their travels on Saturday, and they lost 1-0 at Ipswich. In League One, Walsall also lost 1-0 at Bury. And my build-up on the news last week for the England women's 11 in their European Football Championship semi-final against Holland did them no good. The Dutch ladies won the match 3-0. Playing on their home soil, the Dutch team looked superior to me. They were quicker, more direct, and I wasn't surprised when they went on from this semi-final to lift the trophy itself when they defeated Denmark by 4-2 in Sunday's final. But ladies' soccer has achieved a much higher profile thanks to the England team's success in reaching the latter stages of this tournament, which I'm pleased to see. But girls are not going to be satisfied just making headlines in soccer. Today, the 9th of August, sees the start of the Women's Rugby World Cup. It's being held this time in Ireland, North and South. England won the trophy the last time it was contested in 2014. Over the following week, the English 15 will face Spain, Italy and the USA, hoping to retain the cup, despite the fact the rugby authorities in this country are no longer going to support the team financially. English women have been paid to play the full 15-a-side game, but that's about to change. The future of women's rugby at international level is thought to lie with the 7-a-side format, and it will be the sevens players who will be able to earn money for playing for England when this World Cup is over. But the present team say that's not going to affect their concentration on the job in hand. They're determined to retain the trophy. Fortunately, Monday evening's Speedway meeting at the Wolves home track at Monmore Green avoided the rain, and the outcome was a bit of a thriller, with Wolves winning in the end by 50 points to 43 against the Poole Pirates. Victory was never assured. It was nip and tuck between the teams during the first half of the meeting. Wolves then pulled ahead with two big heat wins, but Poole responded with two of their own, and going into the final quarter, the match could have gone either way. Wolves' Swedish duo of Freddie Lindgren and Jacob Thorsell finished the job with decisive wins in the last three heats to keep the team hard on the heels of the league leaders. This evening, if the weather holds, Wolves are due for an away match against Somerset, and based on their overwhelming home win against those opponents last week, they should pick up another victory there to keep the team very much in the hunt for league honours this season. And there was no action for the Cradley Heathens since I told you about their thrashing at Stoke recently. They too, however, should be in action this evening at their makeshift home track at Perry Bar in Birmingham when the Isle of Wight team are due to be the visitors. So far, this is up to Tuesday this week, the Great Britain team at the World's Athletics Championships in London have underperformed. Only Mo Farah, with his magnificent gold medal in the 10,000 metres on the opening day, has achieved a medal for the team, and there have been a number of disappointments. In my view, the reporting team for the BBC have overhyped a number of our performers. Although I wouldn't deny that Katarina Johnson-Thompson and Holly Bradshaw have talent in the heptathlon and pole vault respectively, they are both well known for their fragile mental state in the biggest events, and I think it did them no good at all to be constantly put up as potential medal winners. Neither was able to perform to their true potential on the day, and I had felt in advance that that was likely to be the case. Mo Farah has a chance to double the British gold medal tally when he takes part in the 5,000 metres, but it's a tough ask. He has a heat on Thursday, then the final at the weekend, on top of the really hard work he's already put in winning the 10,000 metres last Friday. But I can't see too many other medal prospects in our team. Shame that Usain Bolt didn't go out on a high with gold in the 100 metres, but age catches up on the best of them, which he certainly has been, and I'm hoping he can inspire the Jamaican 100-metre relay team to gold in the final at the weekend. But it looks as though Team GB's medal haul is going to be below expectations, which is a great shame for the host country. I hope I'm wrong, and one or two of our athletes can spring a surprise. In tennis news, the United States hard court season has begun. Well, that's what it's usually called, although the opening major event is actually the Rogers Cup, which takes place in Toronto, Canada for the ladies and in Montreal for the men. Andy Murray withdrew from this last week, still nursing the hip injury which put paid to him at Wimbledon, but he is in training again and he may be able to resume action in time for the US Open, which begins in New York at the end of the month. Meanwhile, Heather Watson was another injury victim at Toronto. She withdrew from her first round match on Monday, citing a shoulder problem. With Kyle Edmund knocked out in the first round, Great Britain's interest in the tournament came to a quick conclusion. And that's about it this week. I won't be with you next time as I'm taking a short break, but I'm sure my colleagues will keep you all entertained and informed. I'll be back the week after, so until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.